The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Are we podcasting?
I think we're podcasting,
We're podcasting. Thank you for joining us at the hashtag #IMomSoHard podcast. You can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can also watch the whole thing on YouTube if you want to. And I'm going to try to sit up straight so I don't look like the Michelin man again.
I'm not going to sit up straight because I've got a couple options. Either it goes over the top of my shorts or it goes into my fupa. Either way, it's just like pressing it into one direction or another, TBD on where that goes.
Well, I got a big shirt on and shorts, so it's going to look like I'm bottomless. And so, hey, that gets us more follows, I'm all for it.
If you just heard that Jen is podcasting bottomless and you're staying on for that,
rate, review, and subscribe. Also, go to momsohard.com and get tickets to our live show.
Yes, we're about to go back on the road. We have so many. We have about 10 cities right now, right?
We've got
Seattle and Ridgefield. We've already been there. We've had a great time. I'm just talking like we're
in the
future.
We already ate too many oysters and really good local beer.
Can I pause for a second? Do you think that background stuff is going to get on here? With her cleaning in the back.
Oh, I can't hear it.
You can't? Uh-uh. Okay, good.
I told her not allowed to.
Okay. Is she on here on Tuesdays only?
Tuesdays and Fridays.
Okay. Then we should podcast on Mondays, right?
I wonder if Thursdays is easy. Monday's fine.
Monday's fine.
That's fine with me. Whatever. Yeah.
Okay. You can go to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Just all the things, you guys.
Yeah,
just
TikTok
go there.
Sometimes. You can.
We can't hold your hand on this, but we will. So call us.
Yeah,
and then
call
we'll
us.
Just talk
Jen's phone number is 310. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa! It is 310.
If you figure out the rest of the numbers, then you just need to come work for us.
Our phone number is almost the same, which is hilarious.
I know.
If you misdial me, you might get Kristen.
It's 100%
true.
It's
very odd.
Which was weird. And we also showed up today wearing the exact same outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's happening. And we're fine with it. So a couple things I just wanted to update you on, Jen.
Okay.
Because Jen was with me when we found out that this is a quick conversation, too. It's not going to be a whole thing because this is how fast it went. Jen was with me when my friend Renice and all of us, we were hanging out. And Renice was like, hey, do you know the boys are getting the puberty talk at school tomorrow?
Oy, oy.
And I go, no, my son did not tell me that was happening tomorrow. Of course not. And like, it's not for lack of me digging. Hey, bud, how was your day? What, did anything fun happen? Can you tell me about something you learned? Did you have a conversation? Did anybody say anything that was leading into information that I might want to know? No, I was good. No, it's fine. No, it's fine. Do you want to see me do the gritty? Nope, I sure don't. But thank you for no information.
I do think, though, in his defense, I think most grown adults can't say the word puberty with a straight face. Like,
well,
why don't they come up with a different term for
it?
It's
such a weird word.
And my dad, you know, he's from Rhode Island, used to say puberty. And I'm like, that can't.
Well, it's better than being like when your balls drop, I think. It's like a little less harsh. But puberty, it's like got that real medical ring to it, you know?
Yeah.
So Finn, so I find out there's puberty talk. So I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go. It's going to be a bevy of questions. This is going to be an endless conversation.
Let me roll up my sleeves.
And Jen was so nice. She remembered. She was like, did Finn tell you about the puberty talk? And I said, yeah. In about 8 seconds, he summed it up.
Okay.
I go, how was it? And he goes, it's like one of those YouTube videos that you watch and you try not to laugh. It's a, like a try not to laugh video. I go, well, did you get any information from there? He goes, yeah, it was just a weird video where this guy was like, oh, I wish my body was bigger. I wish my muscles were bigger and I wish my, and then he looks down.
No.
Was bigger. I go, that's what they said? It's like, and he goes, yeah, it was just about like that when we go through puberty, we're going to just start to smell bad. Our muscles will get bigger. We get hair in weird places and we become more interested in girls. And I was like, or boys, whatever. But like, I guess they summed up that puberty talk in about 15 seconds. That's the fastest TED talk
ever recorded. Let me tell you how many things there are that do not get covered. And I know people get weirdy about it. But like, listen, here's my opinion. And I don't want to argue with you. It's my opinion. Tell them everything because stuff will get left out. Like, for example, I was talking to the educators at our school and I said, you guys, I'm sorry, my son has bad breath all the time. I swear to God, he brushes his teeth. And they go, that's part of puberty. It's the hormones make your breath bad.
Oh, man, I'm waiting. So I'm going to get even bigger boobs? Awesome. It's happening.
I mean, they really, I know, they don't so tell many you weird everything. Things. Yeah. And you want to know because then you can,
you know,
handle
why they
it.
Do that? You know why they do that? Because you cannot give them too much information. You are dealing with a large size bucket. Our fifth graders are small bucket people. They are not, well, they are not capable. They are tuning you out so fast. They have to talk fast because they're thinking like, what is my avatar in Fortnite look like? They do not care. Meanwhile, like I was like, this is an impactful thing, but I'll tell you who it does impact is girls, because girls, that is a much different conversation because blood is involved and boobs are involved and everything happens earlier. And like, I believe it's a far more, it's a bigger conversation with girls as it should be.
Yeah.
I do. I think like.
I kind of want it to be the same because I think there's so much that boys and men grow up not knowing about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. It's great that you ran the mile in track. Try doing that on your period, 100%. Buddy.
I go, did they talk to you? I go, were the boys by themselves and the girls by themselves? And he's like, yeah. I go, well, did they talk to you about periods? And he was like, why would I have to know about a period? And then I was like, sir, you need to sit down because this is going to be the you thought that that was the puberty talk. This is going to be the puberty
talk. I know.
Talk.
I'm telling you right now that if I tried to, if you asked my husband, explain ovulation and how pregnancy happens, no. He would just stare, get uncomfortable.
Then he would start talking about like different defense plays you can play in football. Like,
absolutely.
He can pass or he can run or whatever.
1,000%. They can't. They don't know.
No,
and it'd be nice if they understood the science.
But we are a very open household. So I think that's why it wasn't like this big shocking moment for Finn. And I think that's why as uncomfortable it is as it is for me and how I generally feel like I am the world's worst mother, I do think we're doing that thing right where we're like, we just say the thing. We're
I
just
think
like,
you do a great job. You guys aren't like, here's what I think the worst thing you can do is make it feel like shameful
totally.
Or embarrassing to want to know about your body, because knowing about your body is going to keep you alive and keep you safe and keep you protected for the rest of your life.
And like, wouldn't it have been nice to have known that these things were going to happen and they didn't have to be so scary? You know, like,
yeah.
I just want him to know that, like, he's just so open. He's like, I think I have an armpit hair. And I'm like, buddy, it is smooth, but yeah. God bless you. Like,
yeah.
I hope you do. I'm glad you told
sometimes
me.
Sometimes everybody gets a head hair that goes out a weird place,
right.
too. You
don't
know?
I know it? I got one out of my neck. And I was like, here's puberty. Second round. And I'm going to turn into a dude. It's going to be great.
We trim it with the bangs.
Yep, we trim all in one. So I just wanted to update you on the puberty talk because I thought it was sweet and fast. And I know that this one conversation will be 50 other conversations. And,
sure.
And like you said, as he gets older, we will talk more and more specifics to him about, like, you know, now he told me all in one fell swoop. He's like, well, now I'm going into middle school, I guess I got to think about kissing girls. And I go. And so now I'm like, nope, now we're going to have a 411 on dating, my friend. And he's not going to date, but I'm going to tell him how to treat women and like just people in general and like, you know, try to get him to stop putting his hands in his pants all
the time. That's my kids know like all the medical anatomical explanations. My daughter, I make sure she knows the difference between all of her parts and everybody
doesn't. Thank God
just,
for that, because when you go to the OBGYN and you find out for the first time you have three holes, that is a startling
You don't
day.
Want that shock. You know, that's a lot.
You don't
want
to go, wait, what? And I'm having a baby. Which one does it come out of?
Yeah, that's
my pee hole.
You oh
my pee hole.
Thank good no. Thank goodness.
I'm so confused as to why we pee out of there if you're not. Are you peeing out of your vagina?
No, you are not peeing out of your vagina.
Wouldn't it
be inconvenient when you're carrying a baby to pee out of your
vagina? You always pee when you're carrying a baby. So the pee hole's just right above it?
Yeah, it's neatly separated.
It's too close as far as I'm concerned.
I have a problem with
like
a lot of
stacking tables.
Well, a lot of the engineering is not ideal, but you know that it doesn't like. I mean, you don't want to poop out of your vagina.
I don't want to poop out of my vagina. That just feels difficult.
For more medical advice, tune into the I'm Mom So Hard podcast. I do have to say this one thing.
Please.
I do think the puberty conversation is going to be ongoing.
That's
until,
what I mean.
Yeah. Forever.
Also into their college years, because somebody needs to have a conversation that goes, "Hey, man, we're not going to be there with you. You get drunk. Things can happen and you're not going to feel good about it the next day. So if you're going to bang someone, make sure it's someone that you care about and someone you're in a relationship with." And I'm going to say that to both my daughter and my son, and they're going to be grossed out. But I'm going to say it because then if they make a dumb decision, they'll know I was there to go, "Don't do that. Like, nothing good happens after midnight. Don't, you know, like you." I felt very, I felt not too free, but like there's this weird thing in college in your 20s when you're like, "Hey man, no one's going to judge me for making these bad decisions," but you take the impact on yourself. And you're like,
"Oh, I didn't know.
That feels terrible. I don't like feeling this out of control. What do I do here? I don't feel like I got parented enough in my
20s. Yeah, no, I think you desperately need parenting as soon as you're done with high school. But I say, keep your swimsuit parts to yourself. Don't touch anybody else's off limits.
Diving.
When?
You know what I mean? Like, they're going to want to touch swimsuit parts.
Yeah. Not for a while.
Not for a while.
I'm going to say, no, it's not allowed.
I don't know if that makes a difference, but. I just want Finn and Eleanor to want to tell me everything so I can do recon on their choices. But I don't think that's going to happen all the time. I hope that I don't want him to start wanting to do that right now. It's too little. They're too little. He's only a sixth grader and he thinks he's like 18. Still wears his shirt with puff paint and he thinks it's like the...
No.
They're babies. One step at a time, but I do think girls are becoming more of a conversation and I will probably not make that easy.
Mm-mm. No, I think
I'm
what
like,
you
we will
do
always
is...
know whoever it is you date, and if you don't feel comfortable introducing them to us, then... That is not a person you should be with. And by the way, we're talking about this is like in 5 years.
Yeah. You just want to start introducing the shame blame cycle to
them.
The
fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fear. Yeah. That there's a great TikTok where this girl brought home her boyfriend. He seems to be young. You can't see him very easily. It looks like they're high school. And she's like, "This is my new boyfriend and I really like him and please don't be weird." So the family all stood in the front yard like weird zombie statues. So when they pulled up, she gets out and she's like, "What the hell is going on?" And the boyfriend had to walk between them like they were almost like chess pieces. And then they all turned in and then did this weird thing where they all had to walk underneath the tunnel. And what does he do? Walks under the tunnel and then gets into the thing. And I was like, "That's a keeper, my friends.
That's a keeper. That's excellent. Well done,
sir. That's excellent work. Excellent work. Don't tell me to be not to be weird. I'll show you the mortgage that I pay.
I can't not be weird.
I'm
anyways.
Like, have you met me? There's no one more weird than me.
Yeah, I'm going to ask too many questions. Yeah. I'm going to
want to connect socially. Yeah. And that's going to be weird. So here we go. But that isn't even the topic that we're talking about today.
No, I know. We could talk about that forever.
But
we're
going to constantly talk about it because these are the things that keep coming up in our lives are these moments of questions. But what we're going to talk about today.
We can't help but mom so hard. And actually, this topic is very, this is, oh God. I'm going to explode because of those pictures.
Okay. We're going to talk about dance recitals. And my daughter's dance recital was on Sunday. And we've been doing dance recitals kind of forever.
Yeah.
Like we had them in those, the little like little toddler classes where,
Oh my gosh, guys,
I don't understand what those recital pieces are for. None of the little dance, you know what it is? It's so that I ovulate. Because let me tell you some of the costumes they had at this one. Okay. First of all, always a snowflake. There's always a snowflake. And it's the dumbest, cutest thing you've ever seen. They're all in white with sparkles and their hair on top. None of them dance. They were a group of Scooby Snacks.
They were dressed as Scooby Snacks. They were just little brown bones or something?
Little Scooby outfits and then like a Scooby bone. And that it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Then farm animals. They did a little farm animal thing. Then the Incredibles, the little tiny Incredibles dressed like little tiny Incredibles.
Oh my gosh, Jack.
I need everybody to stop it. Like, and then one of my favorite moments was there's this kid.
Just got pregnant.
I know. Dressed in a little vest with a little tie. And he stood there and didn't move the entire time. And all the parents are, everybody's just trying to make him feel like they don't want him to cry and they don't want him to run off. Mm-hmm. And that's your bar. That's it. You don't care. You're taking all the pictures. It's so fun.
Yeah, there's almost no bar, really. Because I was going to say don't pee your pants, but kind of like nobody cares if you do.
Nobody cares. The dads get on stage and help. The moms get on stage and help. I love dance recitals so much, especially if they're run well.
It's just if you find your way in front of my camera, I'm going to be happy at any point.
Right. And the neat thing about this place, which I've talked about before, she's got a real knack for running these recitals and so that parents can... They make a space on the floor because they're like, nobody's going to just trust our videography. They're going to want to do their own thing. So they bring each family down in front of the stage. Then they take that family off and then the new families can come on. So it's just the most darling thing.
That's great because we had a Christmas pageant that I was throwing elbows at people. I was like, your kid's not even up here yet. Get the F out, man.
I've been like that where somebody's fully talking while there's a performance. It's not even my kid up there, but you're having a chat about what you're going to eat after.
No.
I will hard look you and be like, have you not ever been in a theater?
I'll pretend? I'll do this. I'll do it.
I know. I go, shh.
Everybody's with me. You can't just, it's not the fight with me. Like, I just said
they're like,
thing.
Are you Kristen from My Mom So Hard? And I'm like, yes, hi, it's under.
What if I popped out and was like, your bouncer? Yeah. Like, and
shut up. It's so irritating, but that's the most of it.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
I wanted to remind you of this because I have not talked about this on the podcast, but I know you remember this. So we had Finn in dance class very early on. I had him in ballet class twice. They asked us not to come back. The third time, because he just ran around and the girls got all wily. And then the third time, I convinced him he was in a ninja class, but it was tap jazz.
Tai Chi.
For weeks, I kept taking him for weeks. And he was like,
these are very loud shoes for a ninja.
I don't understand why I have to wear these as a ninja. And then I would come up with an excuse. Like, it's all in the footwork. It's very specific.
You can be silent.
How's a shuffle off to Buffalo going to intimidate someone? I'm like, you just wait. Mm-hmm. I go, the kicks will get higher. So it is not until we buy the costume which was $100, and it was a full Spider-Man costume that you could cover and see through the face. You could see the Spider-Man through, you could see through the Spider-Man mask.
Oh, yeah.
We go to the recital, and the song, I wanted to say, teacher, you dummy, this is the biggest giveaway that this is a dance class. It was, I need a hero. And Finn puts it all together, like, on the stage. I'm not in a ninja class.
My mom
just put me in a dance class. So that kid eyeballed me as Spider-Man the entire performance and didn't move a muscle the whole time. Just stood there like, I'm not going to do any of this. And I was like, well played, sir. I mean, yeah. I did live a lie and you did learn how to do a time step. So I didn't, it's not all for nothing.
Yeah, worth it. I mean, my husband had to take ballroom dancing when he was a kid.
I think I did too. You didn't take square dancing?
Well, in PE, but yeah. I didn't learn anything. But I did actually take ballroom dancing.
I would feel like you'd be good at ballroom dancing.
I picked it up so fast because I'd done dance before. I did it when I was like 12 or something because my mom had these friends that were like, you know, in the ballroom dancing world is not, I mean, it's a small, it's like a cosplay group. It's not like a huge percentage of the population that's into ballroom dancing. So they were like trying to recruit, you know?
Sure. But so, I feel like you're bendy and you'd be good at partnering.
Yeah. And because I was short, because it's easier to do the lifts and stuff. Yeah. A short person, but I didn't.
I always wanted to lead. They were like, you can't do this.
It wasn't my thing. I was like, you know what I want to do? Go to heavy metal concerts and smoke. I'm not into ballroom dancing.
That feels
dancing right
now.
That but
feels
if I could
right.
build a time machine, I'd probably do ballroom dancing.
What was your favorite dance recital costume of all time? Do you have one?
I do, and so because I've done a million dance recitals, and I've done, God,
did your mom have to get a second job because those costumes, five different changes?
No, back then it was like 15 or 17 bucks. If it was like a really spendy costume, it was like 22.
Not where I was. They were like, I think,
here's the other thing. There were dance schools I went to where you'd have five or six.
I know, that's what I'm saying. By the time you're a junior and senior in high school, you're doing all the dances. They're like, okay, and now doing a contemporary jazz combo. Yeah.
My very favorite costume, though, I started ballet when I was three, was a butterfly costume that had little drapey things like tied to my wrists, and it had like sequins and this like ombre rainbow bodice.
It sounds so cute.
And I think the reason I love it, my mom sent it to me with all when she was like, here, I don't need this stuff in my attic anymore. And they'd spray paint our shoes at the end of the year, you know.
Yeah.
Delilah wore it till she was like busting the seams out of it. So cute. That's why it's my favorite, because I like picture her in it too.
I know,
but I
they're
had
so
a
cute.
Lot
well, I
of...
gave, we gave you one that Eleanor wore, and then we gave it to Delilah, and Jen was like, "We can't get her to wear anything
the
else."
Pink,
literally,
shiny
every
number.
Picture that Delilah was in,
age
she was
like four to
like
five and a half. Yeah, she
it was
in
this
that.
One pink tutu. But they are cute, and they're
so cute.
Fun to keep. And one year, I missed her dance recital. That was so hard. We were on the road. Aww. And she was dressed as a little Harlequin. And
oh, that was so
little,
cute. Oh,
I
God.
Know. My gut hurt. But this year was really cute. We were supposed to be at a family reunion, and then we just couldn't do it with the travel. It was too hard. So Eleanor got to do her tap recital, and she wore this really fun, like, pink plaid bodysuit with
so
a
cute.
Jacket. And she's with her girls, and she just had – it was so fun. And I think – recitals and performances are really important, and I'm a big believer in them, because I think feeling nervous and feeling excited and dancing in front of an audience or performing in front of an audience, it like does something to you. It does something to you the way travel does something to you.
Yeah.
It makes you realize you're stronger than you think, and that if something bad happens, it doesn't kill you.
Yeah.
So it lets you make other take other risks in your life that you didn't think you could do. Because it's like safe and measured fear. And then that becomes excitement. And then that becomes just, even if you're not that great, you're like, I just did what most people would find terrifying. And I think that's really special.
Well, you know, I don't know that saying. It's like nervousness, anticipation, whatever. They're just like different sides of the same coin.
Yes,
you know?
Have to reframe it. Because, you know, I get terrible stage fright. And so I always am like, you're excited. I always say the same thing right before we step on to the stage when I feel, well, I've crapped at this point 30 times. And then I'm like, why didn't I become a dentist? And then I remind myself, I could not have gone to dental school. My aptitude wasn't there.
You don't want to have to keep getting up because you're like, well, this is a big, big dental. Oh, this is a root canal. I got to crap, you guys. Excuse me. I'll be right back.
It's way easier to crap in stand-up comedy than it is when you're working on someone's oral surgery.
Yeah, there's intermission. You can go back and hand. But it's adrenaline, and it's good.
It's adrenaline.
It's good to get the adrenaline flowing and, like, see that your brain still works and all of that. Plus, it's fun to, like, be proud and have people clap for you and, like, show that you learned something. Like, I was super bummed out because the one time we brought Delilah to start dance class, and now she's like, I don't know if I want to do it. COVID happened, so she didn't get to do, like, she was going to do a little princess thing. And now when I say to her, like, do you want to do dance? She's not sure. But well, I'm going to make her.
I make our kids do everything. Like, they play piano because I always think I'm going to take something else away. That's all.
Yeah.
That's how I operate. Because I'm like, this will make you a better person. You can tell me all day that piano won't make you a better person. I challenge that. It makes you a better person. Learning an instrument, learning to sing, learning to dance, doing a sport, all of those things, they make you a better person for the world. They make you a better, like, participant in your life. That, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I tell mine, you have to choose one thing that's for your brain and one thing that's for your body.
And it's both are for your heart. Like, I don't care. Finn's like, I don't like piano. Then he sits down and he's like playing the theme song of, like, The Simpsons, and he's really good. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it seems terrible for you. Enjoy being able to play the piano when you go to one of your junior high parties and you sit down and you can whip out I'm Still Standing. And then all the girls are surrounding you and thinking, oh my God, Finn Sweeney can play the piano. Enjoy that. We all know the same thing. You're going to get all the girlfriends.
We got to get a different piano teacher, I think, because...
Well, yours watches soap operas while she teaches.
She does.
The whole, I'm not going to get my own Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are on that 40-minute ticker.
Yesterday, I was like, so we're going to stop and start these so they're not interrupted, okay?
Right.
So just go ahead and send two now, and we'll get on the second one, because... I need it to make more sense in my life, or I can't do this anymore. So then, but she also, it's like, he's not going to go play musette and, like, impress everybody at a party. They're going to be like, oh, great.
You know what, though? You peg out a chord at a party and people are impressed. It's just the fact that you have, like, we were talking about the confidence or the excitement or the ability to do it at all. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just exposure to the arts, I think, is really important. Or I would say the same with organized sports. I think those are important too. I think they're all in the same world of, like, showing up for your team.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I think one of the worst things ever happened to me during a dance recital when I
have you blacked this out? Because you guys have never heard this before.
I know. I just thought about it because we were going to talk about it today. So I, like, went down. So I'm from a small farm town, and there were no dance studios in my town, and so if I wanted to take dance class, I would have to go to Grand Island, which was 30 miles away. I'm oldest of three. My mom's a teacher. My dad works at a car dealership, so it just wasn't in the cards for me to go any younger than what I started going. So I used to travel with this family, the Allschwedes, and I would go with her. And
I worked with her at TGI Fridays. Just another small coincidence in the universe.
Y'all, darn it. Christy Allschwedes, nicest person on the planet. So we went together for, like, a year where I could ride with her. And then maybe 2 years. And then after that, I took, when I was able to drive. I think I even drove when I wasn't allowed to
Farm
drive.
License. Don't Farm worry license. About it, people. Don't it's a Nebraska it. Thing.
So I was a lot older.
Oh, 15,
to
shit.
Start
I can get
dance.
A farm license at 12, can you?
I mean, it,
13?
It's called just permission from your parents.
Yeah, who's going to arrest you is what
right.
it's called.
So I started taking at Sandy Gardner's Dance Center in Grand Island, and I loved it. Except the thing that stunk is that I was so far behind with technique and, like, just exposure to the art form and, like, dancing. And I hadn't had any real experience.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, maybe... like 2 years by then, like, you start learning about positions and feet and posture and all that stuff very early.
Yeah.
So it was very hard for me to catch up, but I loved it. I loved it. And
you can catch up. I know, like, a Russian ballerina would disagree with me, but it's like part of the reason you want to do it young is so you don't have to, like.
Right. And you're real bendy.
Yeah. So you don't have to learn it
later.
But you can totally. Yeah.
You know what I say to that? Sidebar about, oh, well, you're too late to start. I say bullshit to that.
I do too.
Because I think, like, Let's say you start something right now. In 1 year's time, you're going to be so much better than you were right now.
Yeah.
There's no arguing that. Like, you're not going to not know something in 1 year. So why don't, if you want to, if you're 45 and you want to take ballet right now, who cares?
Yeah.
Do it.
Read the tipping point, people. You can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want. And you will be better because you will have had reps by the time you get a year from now. And so anyway, back to my terrible recital story. So I'm in my first recital. And I'm doing pretty well on the routines. I worked so hard. I used to go into the local. We had this, like, where my mom did jazzercise above the radio station in Central City. They would let me go in there and practice. And I would literally go in there and practice 3 or 4 times a week just to get caught up. We go to the recital. Who do I invite? Christy Alschwede and my other friend. And they come to see me. It's the second night of the recital. And I'm in this, like, Star Wars number. And there's, like, a contagion. So one group starts. Then the second group starts. Then the third group starts. I'm in the first group. And the first move is you do this thing where you kind of get into a push-up position. And then your, like, legs are going out. Like, it's all floor work, right?
Yeah.
I fuck up the counts. And I start 6 counts before everybody. So I'm on the ground dancing by myself with all the vigor of someone
You're the only one down.
I'm the only one down. Now,
you know what that I call that is just a very long contagion.
That's what I thought. I thought if it could have looked like it wasn't a mistake, that would have been awesome. But at the time, when you're 14, like, there was nothing worse than what had just happened to me.
I know.
And also, like, the girls weren't super friendly at this dance studio. I didn't have a ton of friends. Like, I was definitely, like, odd man out. So my friends are there. And I stand up and I look at the audience and they're not like, they're kind of like not interested really because they're all parents waiting for their kid to go on stage. But to me, the whole audience is doing that slow motion laugh like, oh my God.
Look at her. The point.
And I'm like, no. So I go, I had this fake Star Wars gun that I was supposed to be like dancing with. It's a real top notch number,
gosh.
You guys. And I go, fuck. And then I walked off the stage because I was so upset. And when I tell you I bawled for, I think, 18 days, but 24 hours straight. Then Christy was so nice. They, like, I was in the back of her car and I was like, I did everything wrong. And they were like, you couldn't really tell. And I was like, knew that they were being really nice.
Yeah.
But what it told me is I go, huh, I'm horrified and I'm mortified and my ass feels like it's never going to like unclench, but I'm not dead. So I guess that's something. And then the next time I got on stage and danced, I crushed it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
But it was terrifying and terrible.
I will see that story and I think this might raise it. I don't know, but it was, high school dance team. So it was in front of my entire...
People who are watching.
Who are just waiting for you to fuck up. Yeah.
But they're also watching because the dance team for a school is like... They're like the cool girls. Like, everybody likes those girls. And they're all watching. They're like... there's no other, like, bunch of, like, second graders are going to come out in cute little snowflake outfits and one-up you.
Well, I was not cool in case in point. I think we were doing...
She was homecoming queen.
No.
You were... Formal
I
queen,
was not.
Or whatever you call it. You were a queen and you got a tiara and you cannot deny it. Yes, she sure did. Yes, she was. I go to, what is it? Winter formal princess. Whatever, you don't deny it.
You don't listen.
You're
to
lying.
Me.
I saw your annual, not your anal. Your annual. It sounded like I was going
to
say.
She demands
anal.
To come to my annual appointment with me every year. So she.
I don't know why you go. I could just do it for you and we would save everybody a lot of money.
Here's what I did. This will show you how not cool I was. So there were like probably, 18 or 20 of us.
Sure.
And usually we did a kick line because it was like this old traditional. We always perform with the band to begin with.
Fine.
And then, so we did like rockets, kicks, had to be in every dance routine. It didn't matter like what your music was. You had to do kick line.
I love that.
It was fun. But we wanted to do something different. So we did a dance to Chattahoochee. And we had cowboy hats.
You know what? I don't hate it.
On the Chattahoochee.
It gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie.
Yep.
We're gonna...
So we wore, it was a cute little dance routine, and there's one part in the middle where because we're in the middle of the gymnasium, so we were in a circle doing like a line dance, and the whole group moves together.
How
well,
fun.
Not Smedley, man. Oh. She went like,
oh no.
In my head, everybody was on the wrong count. Everybody was like,
that's when you know you're in trouble.
That, yeah. And I don't know why in my little tiny brain, I was like, no, you just go with it.
Go with me. You're like, go with me. There's 17 of you. Go with me.
I thought we did all these contagions and stuff. And I was like, by the time this circle folds out, I'm in the wrong place. I'm going to be dead center in the middle of the kick line. And I'm an end. I got to get out of here. I literally just like took my hat off and like had to walk to the right spot. And I'm sweating right now thinking about it because it felt so terrible. And everybody on the team was really nice. But when I was like, you guys, I'm sorry I messed up. They were like, yeah, wow, you really messed up. Yeah, how did you get off by that many counts?
Like, I know. No one ever gives it to you easy at that age either. They're like, no. You must be so embarrassed. And I'm like, I think my hair's falling out, if you want to know.
You had to learn a new dance routine for every game, you know? Yeah. So it was a different one so the crowd wouldn't get bored. And I couldn't do it, you guys. I couldn't do it.
It's a scary thing, those dance recitals. That's why I always say, like, we're drill team or any of those things you're on. That's why I'm always like, be a nice audience member, man.
God, if you're
like,
not. Don't,
if you aren't, like, oh my God, American Beauty is one of my favorite movies. And the part where Annette Bening says to Thora Birch's character, the young girl, she goes, honey, I watched you the whole time and you didn't mess up once, was like picture perfect of how we represent ourselves at that age and also like what we think everybody is doing, which is micro watching our every move.
Well,
you can't have it any other way. It also is a very exciting level of like, that's why these kids do these things on like dance teams that are so incredible because they are.
I have so much to say, but I do have to tell another nightmare story.
Okay, do. Please. Okay. That makes me feel better.
So,
please tell me one where you two did. That would be funny.
I'm sure. That wouldn't even register on my radar. Are you kidding me?
You'd be like, oops.
Yeah. I would be like, oops. You know what? Delilah was running around the backyard. And when she got by us last night, she totally like big time tooted, like a long extended one. And she and I both started laughing. And my husband goes, boosters engaged. I laughed so hard. So funny. But this is what happened to me. When I was 7, I got my ears pierced.
Yeah. Oh.
Huge deal. Well, you weren't really supposed to wear earrings ever when you're dancing. Yeah. You're not supposed to have them in, but you could wear them if you'd just gotten your ears pierced because, you know, you can't take them out for 6 weeks or whatever it is. And you got to turn them at night and put your little clears liquid on them and stuff like that. So my mom had gotten me these, my first pair of earrings were these little gold tennis rackets that came in this like little tiny green box. And I had my dance recital, which at this time, it was like the winter dance recital because we had a big one at the end of the year and we were living in St. Louis. And so it was at this high school auditorium that had like a nice stage, you know, it was up high, like a gymnatorium.
Yeah. So I get it.
Yeah. So it was like up high and then all the chairs were stored underneath. You pull them. Yeah. So that's where it was. And I did a couple things wrong and I have such intense guilt about everything that I wanted to wear these tennis racket earrings so bad, and I wanted to wear them to the thing. So number one, I had this plan to put them in knowing I shouldn't have worn earrings because I could only wear the stud earrings.
Oh boy, here's where her rebellion begins. It's at 7, and it's dealing with accessories. Shocker.
I put those tennis racket earrings in, which if I was going to take them out, like I shouldn't have just not worn any that night, right? And I felt so guilty and was so scared that my ears were going to close shut because I told my mom, I was like, no, it's been 6 weeks, you know, like, and of course, how's she going to know a few days or whatever? Yeah. There's no way you're going to keep track of that unless you put in your phone. We didn't have those back then.
We have those. You're like, okay.
Which I'd call the operator and connect me to the town marshal. Yeah. But so I had them and I remember like being so upset and my hands were shaking that the like little helper was like, let's go sit on the stairs and have some water. And I was like, I can't do the dance. Will you go get my mom? And this was like my third or fourth recital or something. And my mom came back and was like, what's wrong? And I just like confessed to her everything that happened. And
I wore the wrong accessories,
I was
mom.
Bawling. I was like, I wasn't supposed to take those out. It was too soon, but I wanted to wear these tennis rackets so bad. Now my ears are going to close
shut. Get out and dance. I paid $40 for that outfit.
She didn't. My mom Barb, not known for doing the coolest shit ever, was like, let's just go home.
Oh.
She's like, let's just, and I remember, this is how 80s it was. She like held me in the car on the way home, even though I was seven. Because who you cared could. About seatbelts or whatever?
They would let you drive home if you were seven.
Absolutely nobody cared. But I remember it being like so, like I couldn't.
It's very stressful. Recitals are also very stressful. And I think they're very stressful to the kid and they are stressful to the moms. And there is a lot, like, you're in a bubble for a minute. Everything that you're doing super, super, super matters. Like, we were running late like assholes for this one, which normally I don't because I don't like that feeling. I want to feel like we have time. I want to do her hair. It's the time in the year that she gets to wear, like, lots of makeup and she loves it. Eleanor does. And sure enough, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was like, oh, it's not till 3. Let's go golf. Let's go to the driving range first. We'll go chill just a little bit. Then we get home and we have lunch. And then I'm like, we're supposed to be there at 2:30. It's about a 30-minute drive. And I look at the clock and it's, I'm like, wait, 1:15. That means, wait, am I running? Yep, I'm running so late. So we had to do her hair and doing like a proper like ballet hair, recital hair.
Oh, yeah.
It's like prom updo, man. It takes so much time. And my hands were shaking. I was trying to do like liquid liner. And I was like, it's fine. I'll wipe it off. I've got spit under my finger. And like, it's very stressful. And she started to feel stressed. And then you're trying to relax so that you don't give her that feeling of like, So she starts, at one point she starts crying. And she's like, I don't like my hair. I don't like the bow. And I was like, stop crying. You're going to mess up your makeup.
Mom, why are you pooping so much?
And then I was like, Kristen, you need to calm down. Like, this is just a dance recital. It will all work out. Chill out. Give her, show her that, like, it's okay and give her space. Meanwhile, I'm in this, I get her to the recital and I'm like trying to be chill and I'm sitting in my seat almost crapping. And then this is me. And Colin's looking at me like, are you okay? And I'm like, not that you would know one thing about this, but no, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Just need a minute. I've never wanted a flask so bad in my life.
Oh, yeah.
That's like in movies when they're like, you need a drink. I was like, I need a drink. There should be a cocktail server at recitals.
Yeah, absolutely. It is so much stress. And also to like get the costumes and not have them be messed up. And
the bows that go with the costume and the hairpins.
All the pieces. I remember how stressful they were back when I was a kid, you know, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm, but how it was like kind of weirdly competitive because I remember the moms like, complain like
and it can get a little yucky
about how it's like, oh, we have this many costumes or whatever, like how many you would had meant like how many the dancer had like
means gotten. How many nights a week you're dancing, which
or
yours,
how many you'd been asked to be in special or something like that. And
it
like
it's a little
worse now, like because our kids aren't to the age where you dance moms are, but like I have heard about that and I'm signing Delilah up for lacrosse and I hope it sticks.
I think that there can be some of that vibe in everything you do, because when Finn was 5 and we went to take him to join baseball, you know, we had the little outfit and everybody looked so damn cute. They all look like bobbleheads. And there was a kid that rolled up with like 2 like $80 bats and a full backpack. And like we had gotten ours, I think, from the Goodwill. And like I was like, oh boy, it can start at any age. Like the status of it all, just don't get wrapped up in that. Just remember, like, they're there to have fun. They're there to make friends. It can be as joyful as you allow it. And like, there's going to be a little bit of crap along the way. That's just the nature of it.
I mean, it's statistically impossible that you're not going to have a few crazy parents like in any big activity.
Right.
Like,
and if you don't have any, it's you.
Oh no.
It's you.
Hmm.
If there's always one weirdo.
Figuring
and if
a few
you're
things
trying to
out.
Figure out who it is and it's you can't find one, look in the mirror.
My universe is imploding right now.
I didn't think I'd be one of those moms that yell loud at games, and I am, and I have to like watch myself. But it's out of enthusiasm, but it can still be too much sometimes.
Well, I'll cheer for everybody.
That's me. I will. And Finn gets mad at me. He's like, stop saying the like if I see like somebody's having a rough go, I'll be like, it's all right, pitcher, you got this, and it's for the other team, and Finn will have a fit. I'm like, I see that.
Okay, but it's not just that you wouldn't be cheering for somebody if somebody takes a really good swing or something or has a really good hit. You're purposefully trying to not compliment somebody, which fans of every sport.
Right.
I see you. That's negativity right there. That's
dance it up, take the classes, play the sport.
Oh my gosh.
Do all the things. I'm going to tap class tonight, y'all. Tapaholics.
That's so awesome. I am not good at tap. I love
that
you do tap.
Are you going to have a recital?
I'm not going to have a recital. yet.
We should make you have a recital.
Absolutely.
For us.
I want to watch it, Kristen. Fine.
Listen, there was a group of moms in the dance class or dance place that were part of the recital, and I lit up like a Christmas tree, and I was like, I want to be a part of that class. And my kids were like, no. And I was like, how dare you? I make a living on the stage. I'm going to dance. And then COVID. So then when they open up a mom's class, I'll be there for sure.
Well, Kristen's a good tap dancer because she can move quickly.
My feet move quickly. My top half just stays there, which is kind of tap.
That's kind of it. That's more like Lord of the Dance kind of.
Secretly, I want Eleanor and I to do a dance duo where we both tap together. But I haven't told her that yet because she might.
Please tell me you're going to do it to Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah. What other song would there be? That is.
Trying hard to look like Gary Cooper.
Super duper. And then we'll wear suspenders, and I've got the whole thing. Just don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Okay, guys, let's go on to it.
I have a mom box. That is a very mom daughter duo kind of thing.
Mom box.
So this one, this is from Kenzie. Kenzie V sent us this message. Hey, ladies, my mom, grandma, and I love your podcast.
I love
so
that.
Much. Is that so awesome? We all listen together and laugh so hard. I'm not with them for the summer, so I bought them tickets to your show in Eugene.
That's nice.
Isn't that the nicest thing ever?
That's so nice. Wait, she can't go, but she's sending them?
She's sending mom and grandma.
That's really
evidently
cute.
Mom and grandma, you've done a great job with
and
that
grandma,
one.
Oh, man, when we get some of our more mature ladies in the house, they bring the comedy heat. They are fired up. They're feisty. They're
totally.
Also like, there ain't nothing you're talking about that we haven't dealt with.
Absolutely.
They're like, our queens.
They're, yes. So, yeah. Everybody get your tickets. Come to the live show.
Come to the live show. We can't wait to see you. Okay, I'm going to go on to a hot flash.
Okay.
I'm very excited about this one because kind of a two-parter.
Okay.
So I'm not even going to ask you. I don't know why.
Two-parter?
I don't know why I tried to start this with a question.
Okay.
I just watched the new Netflix movie with Adam Sandler called Hustle.
Okay.
And it is about this scout for the 76ers that goes all over the world looking for these like diamond in the rough basketball players that have to be 22 in order to sign with the NBA.
Okay, you lost me. Adam Sandler and basketball.
Anyway, fine. Adam Sandler and basketball. Fine. So he goes to Spain and he finds this basketball player. And when I tell you that I watched a basketball scene and have never been more invested in basketball, my least favorite sport professionally and to play, I was like, what is that? The guy that plays the main dude. I can't even pronounce. You're going to die.
Okay.
I can't pronounce his name to
save
my life.
I'm
going to
get visual evidence of how hot
Juancho,
this is.
It's like, okay, so he's from Spain. So it's Juancho Hernana Gomez. And when he says it, all I hear is, do you want a French kiss?
It's like she's trying to keep the phone from me so I can't see it.
Okay,
but I can tell you right now,
without
my readers, I can tell he's very Cristiano Ronaldo looking too.
Look.
Oh my
God. Look
gosh.
At those. I'm never into tattoos. And look at those. Look at that arm. He is built like a brick shit house.
But what sensitive eyes, you guys.
Sensitive eyes.
He wants to hear what you have to say. He wants to listen to your opinions over dinner.
Like, Spanish accent, so it's like, hello.
Showing me photos. Okay. Keep showing them to me.
So he is so wonderful in this movie. He's so subtle.
Oh, he looks like a guy that calls his mom, too.
Oh,
look at him.
I like to call him. Mm-hmm. So not only do I love him now, and I mean I'm going to deep dive this guy.
Juan Gomez.
But it is like when they speak Spanish, it is very beautiful. It's like the French of Spanish.
Are you doing an Irish accent?
What does it matter? I'm just saying how he spoke to me. He is so darling in this movie.
Wow.
I buy him. He's a good actor. He's subtle. He's so hot. His body is so stupid.
I do. I like him with the goatee better, I think.
What? Where's that?
Well, he's got the facial hair in a lot of these. But
now
look,
that he looks like he's 12. I don't want to do that.
He's
26.
He's
perfectly fine.
Oh, he plays for...
he plays for an actual team.
Minnesota, Denver, Boston. He's got every jersey on.
Right.
Who is
it? It doesn't matter. So
I don't pay attention to basketball.
The only reason he did the movie is because during COVID, they weren't playing. So he was like, okay, fine, I'll do this movie. I'm like, oh. So The other guy that I think is super hot and that I'm having like a resurgence with is freaking Adam Sandler.
Really?
I've been watching 90s throwbacks. We just watched Happy Gilmore and I loved Billy Madison, and he's in this Netflix movie, and I'm like, Sandler still has it. He's got that like 90s edge where like he would call you a shithead and it would be the funniest thing you've ever heard. He says the funniest shit in the way that like a big brother or like a big upperclassman would give you shit and you'd be like, quit it, Greg. And you're like,
yeah, well, that's what, when I did say Adam Sandler,
I love him.
But I have to make the caveat that like he was so successful when we were younger that like now people quoting his movies drives me insane. It's like, you know, that there's always that guy that's like, oh, that's going to leave
that
a mark.
Been me
that
for
kinda,
4 years straight.
I know, but don't.
I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast. You eat pieces of shit for breakfast? No.
One of the problems with having a hugely successful comedy is you're going to have frat guys quoting it for the next 35 years.
Jen, I quoted it for 35 years.
You see my point?
There we go. Thanks for joining our podcast.
Thanks for listening. We just podcasted. Woo.
Bye.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.